The following is an evening conversation with His Holiness Srila Satsvarupa Das Goswami on December 31st, 1991 in Gitanagari.
Two new books of mine that have been published. First, I thought of an anecdote from a book about which tells about writing in Krishna consciousness. This is from a translation that was recently published by Sarvabhavana of Srila Jagadananda Pandit's Prema Vivarta. Jagadananda Pandit is an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya, and his internal identity is Satyabhama. So as Satyabhama is a quarrelsome mood of love with Lord Krishna. So Jagadananda Pandit, as we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is often having loving quarrels with Lord Chaitanya. And as he writes in Prema Vivarta, he writes that the bliss of making up after these quarrels is the greatest happiness in the world. So no one can understand their relationship. But so it's very fascinating reading that book, and we are introduced to him and his activities in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But to hear him in his own voice as he writes his book and tells of things that he did with Lord Chaitanya and the other devotees, it's very amazing. But in one section, he says how he wants to write about Lord Chaitanya. And his determination is, I'll just write whatever comes into my heart, that I won't care about anything else, just whatever occurs to me. He said, and as I do this, as I think of Lord Chaitanya, tears come to my eyes and I'll just write. So he was writing like this, and Swarup Damodar came to him and said, what are you writing? So he said, I'm writing about Lord Chaitanya, whatever occurs to me. So Swarup Damodar said, if you want to write about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you should write in a way that will be edifying to others, and tell them about Lord Chaitanya's mercy. I can't exactly remember what he said, but it's like that. As we know, Swarup Damodar, he's like the dean of all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and especially as the secretary of Lord Chaitanya. He used to screen anyone who wanted to approach Lord Chaitanya with writings, and they had to be had to pass the test of Swarup Damodar, very intimate devotee. So he made this kind of statement to Jagadananda Pandit. If you want to write, it should be very constructive and to this particular end. So Jagadananda Pandit replied, you say I should write for the good of the people, but I don't know what the good of the people is. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to write whatever occurs to me. So then he writes in, Jagadananda Pandit writes in his book, Swarup Damodar, knowing that I am eccentric, left me alone. So I very much like that little hint of the relationship among the devotees. I'm sure it wasn't just because Swarup Damodar thought Jagadananda Pandit was eccentric. Maybe he was kind of eccentric. And Swarup Damodar thought, I better just leave him alone. Can't instruct Jagadananda Pandit, who, just like he gets angry with Lord Chaitanya, he may get angry with me. But also he must have thought, this devotee's mood should not be disturbed, so even I shall not instruct him how he should write a book. And so then, after saying that Swarup Damodar decided to just leave him alone, he again expresses his determination that I don't care about anything, I'm just going to write what occurs to me. So if that is done in terms of Krishna conscious Siddhanta, it's a very good way to write or to do anything in Krishna consciousness, to do it from the heart with real conviction, not only because it's correct or it's what you're supposed to do, and because we are hankering for authentic life, or authentic Krishna consciousness. We'll appreciate the kirtan or the written book or whatever it is that is done by somebody out of sincere expression, even if there is some fault in it. even more than something that may be correct, but didn't have the motive with some, with that that spontaneity. So I want to talk first briefly about these two, the second and third books in this series called Stories of Devotion. Briefly, I'll just speak about the second one, and mostly I'll speak about the third one that I don't know if you've even seen it, just been out a couple of days, I think. But this one has been out for a little while, Vishnu Ratha Vijay, the story of an ex-hunter. And as this developed and came out, I'm hopeful that it can be used not only by devotees, but as a preaching book in this area of preaching, which is very favorable for our movement in the West, for the growing consciousness about protecting animals and becoming vegetarian, protecting life. This book is a humble offering to join that literature of pointing out to humankind that they have no right to kill the animals, and if they do so, they will face reactions. So, as there were hunters in those days, there are hunters nowadays, and this tells about the damned life it is to be a hunter, and how one hunter, by the association of a Vaishnava, became free of that. It even has a scene in it of an attempt to, like nowadays, some of the animal protection activists, they try to actually stop hunters in the forests. And so there's a scene like that where the hero tries to disrupt the hunters. And at the end, there are some dreams of the hunter showing some of the nightmare thoughts that pass through his mind, indicative of what his karma will be, and it ends with an essay by him, which is like a propaganda pamphlet that addressed to people why they should spare the animals and not kill animals. So I don't know if the book will ever travel that far outside the immediate association of devotees, which kind of gets back to that first point about Jagannanda Pandit, that sometimes devotees ask me to try to write for a wider audience, or for the New Age audience, or to write a book that'll be particularly appreciated by devotees, that will sell more. But you really can't predict how books will come out like that. You just write what comes, and sometimes you write something that's like a bestseller, but mostly I just write thinking of the audience of the devotees, which is a very small audience, but it's the audience that Rupa Goswami wrote for and all the Goswamis wrote for. They didn't try to so much popularize. But as the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, then it will get more and more people ready for the nectarian literature that they left. In the Krishna conscious society, there's nothing esoteric about these books. They're about Krishna, they're about Radharani, they're about the devotees. And we hope the day will come when people will read these things. But perhaps this book, it could, even now it has more potency, it might be read by people who weren't even devotees of Krishna, but were open to hearing about the animal protection angle. You can keep that in mind if you're in some place, you can show it to somebody. Now this book, that the very last book published, and this is about the 12th book that was published this year, so this is a very good year for Gita Nagari Press publishing so many books. And I hope we can continue to have years like this. So this just came out, and another Stories of Devotion illustration on the cover and back cover by Keshi Sudhana. It's called Sri Chaitanya Daya, The Diaries of Harideva and Chayadeva. Well, these weren't sold on the 29th, were they? So, I hope by speaking a little bit about it, it will be the same as another kind of Krishna conscious presentation I might make. Although it's based on this fiction book. And I'll soon get to the main theme of this book, and we can think how to apply this to our own life. With the first of the stories of devotion, it was a historical fiction based on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then I went a little step further with the second book and introduced a fictional editor-translator who found a manuscript telling about whether the manuscript was a biography of this ex-hunter. So this is a literary device which I developed more in the next one. And it kind of sets up the possibility of writing many books like this. The translator editor, he's called Vaishnava Das Anudas. And he says in the beginning, since translating Vishnu Ratavijay, I have heard that there are many other unpublished manuscripts throughout Bharat Varsha. They're mostly biographies, diaries, and family histories of devotees who had a connection with events described in Vedic scriptures. I hope to continue translating authentic manuscripts that have relevance to our present-day experience. Partly I got this idea from a statement in Prabhupada's book where he says that Sarup Damodar and Raghunath Das Goswami kept diaries of Lord Chaitanya's activities, and many other people wrote about Lord Chaitanya, but their diaries are no longer existing. He says, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur believes that the people of the world would benefit greatly if such notes were available. So there are many different untranslated manuscripts, even things we could call on the level of scriptures. But then I began to think how even ordinary devotees may have written things that are not available to us. And from this I got the idea of writing stories of persons who were witnesses to activities that we read in the Puranas or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and so on. As to why one would use fiction at all, that I won't go into now. I'll sound too defensive. But I wrote about that in other places. But as a writer, it gives... I like to get not only write fiction, but write a fiction within a fiction. It gives you a lot of distance to be able to write freely without worrying about somebody thinks you're writing about yourself or you're writing about ISKCON or something. And yet I can address problems that are contemporary. So the theme of this story is, put it in theological terms, it's about temptation, then fall down, and redemption. This was discussed in the BTG, the recent BTG, with much of which was done here at Kitanagari, about fall down. This is also about the theme of fall down. And so in that sense, it's very relevant even today. And the character, so the Vaishnava says that this manuscript was kept by some descendants of this person, Haridev. There are actually two manuscripts, Haridev's diary and the narration compiled by his wife, Chayadevi. I have juxtaposed their writings in a way I think suits the story they share. So, in other words, there's first one, the way the book reads, there's first a diary entry by the man, Haridev. He and his wife are both about 50 years old. And so then immediately after that, the editor puts the diary by his wife, and then him, and then her, and him and her. It goes like that through the book. The way it starts out, I don't know exactly how to do this, how to present this. I don't want to summarize the whole thing. I want to more discuss especially one section, like the, kind of the resolution to things. But just for the fun of it, I'll tell you how the story goes. It's written after events that have occurred, and we gradually learn from this man who, as he writes, he's keeping a diary while he's on a mission, walking on foot to deliver a certain message. And he gradually reveals to us that he has been shamed in his life, that he was a pujari in the temple of their village, Lakshmi Narayan temple. And he had a shameful fall down in adultery. And as a result of this, he was discharged from his duties in the temple. And as a result of that, then he became very... he shut himself off from asking the forgiveness of the devotees, feeling so ashamed. But then he became more degraded and more fallen down, took to drink and more abominable activity. So he gradually is telling that. And then what happened after that, he's telling, is that some devotees of Lord Chaitanya came to their village. This was another man who was a householder, and his wife came. And this picks up then from the circle of activities of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. As we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya went in the south, he would do the Harinam, and people would become pure devotees just by seeing him and chanting with him. And then they would go to another village, and they would, by their association, the people there would become transformed into devotees. We assume that they were probably more or less devotees anyway. Maybe they were devotees of Lakshmi Narayan or lukewarm devotees of one kind or another. But when they saw this kirtan, they became pure devotees of Krishna. So then the people who got that association from someone who had seen Lord Chaitanya, they would go and to another place and electrify those people. So someone like that comes to the village of this man, Haridev, and by a different series of events, he becomes revived again, takes hope again, that he can receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya will forgive him. So then he's on a walking mission to deliver a message about Lord Chaitanya's coming back up from the south and visiting that area and how the people should get ready to receive him. So he's traveling and his wife is staying in the village, and her diary, she thinks of her husband, and she writes a kind of letter to him, thinking that she may show it to him when he comes back, but also just writing her diary. She reveals her thoughts about this fall down and shame that has happened to her husband. She takes some responsibility for it. And although she has to grow in realization of her responsibility of it. And then she tells her, she tries on her own. She's a little bit a pushy kind of person. So she tries to convince the pujaris in the temple that they're overdoing this rejection of him. Now that he's got Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he's revived, they should accept him back as the pujari. But these persons, they're a little puffed up, and they still think that that he cannot be forgiven yet. So this kind of thing is going on. But although Haridev is factually reinstated in Krishna consciousness, come out of his seclusion and all bad habits, he has a fear that he may fall down again. And he has a kind of lack of confidence about being able to avoid lust and avoid temptation. And so some of that is described a little bit psychologically and mentally, how a person how temptation begins and how to avoid it. So he's a little shaky, in other words. He agreed to go on this mission as another way to atone for himself and to do something useful, to go alone and to deliver this message. But once he gets alone, he starts feeling again how he's not really so fixed up and there's so many temptations. He stops in one dharamshala and he just sees a little possible temptation and gets kind of shaken by it. But in the course of being there, suddenly a party come of a sannyasi and some brahmacharis, and they also have been caught up in the wave of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes when he was in the far south. And as a result of meeting Lord Chaitanya, they were also worshippers. I forget how I described it, but they weren't directly followers of Lord Chaitanya and Radha Krishna. But now they've become converted to this, and they're traveling and chanting like a padayatra everywhere. So, briefly, he decides to join this group, and without any premeditation of where it's going to lead to, he just goes off with them on padayatra, and a lot of the adventures tell of the teachings he receives from that sannyasi, the questions he asks, and so on. Then, back at the village, they get word that actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to come right through that village, and he does come. And then that was difficult to write about, because I don't want to presume anything that I'm writing the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. But I tried to do it with that mood that that Lord Chaitanya went all over, and anyone who even saw him from a distance got transformed, and it felt the ecstasy of prema bhakti. So there are enough descriptions of it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I tried to keep the eyewitness account of Chai Devi, who saw Lord Chaitanya, as very distant, like one of many women in the big crowd from a great distance. You read in Chaitanya Charitamrita how when Lord Chaitanya came to a village, thousands and millions of people would come. They'd come across the river, they'd crash down the banks of the river, and there would be such great scenes of crowd scenes. So I thought of how, and how he looked is described. So I didn't have to invent any particulars so much as to how a person would feel and how he was seen, and what the mass scene was like when Lord Chaitanya came to a village. So he goes to that village, and she tells her account of it while her husband is away on this tour. He's off with the sannyasi. I'm narrating to get up to a certain point. Then, although he very much benefits being with this sannyasi, the sannyasi is very strong about renunciation and thinks that grihastha life is like maya. And somewhat bluntly, when Haridev questions about this, he speaks to him like that. Says that you should don't worry about your household life, you just always go with us and on this continual padayatra, and we're going to Jagannath Puri and we'll see Lord Chaitanya. Don't worry about anything else. And so Haridev, he can't accept this. He says, actually, I'm a grihastha. I can't just do like this. So they have a kind of difference on it, and he decides to turn back, and he decides to go back to his village. He does that, and again, as he walks, he has more of these seizures of doubt and weakness that he really, he may fall down again, and how's he ever going to be strong and not yield to temptations? The temptations, he realizes, they don't start with the senses, that he may see a loose woman or see, like Ajamil did, some couple doing something and then get agitated, but actually it starts in his own mind. He gets tempted by the idea of temptation, and he's trying to, by being alone and walking, he's trying to face himself. He thinks more what actually happened, how he did fall down, and how one thing led to another. And although he's stronger from his association with the sannyasi, and he's coming more to grips with himself, It's still not resolved. So, but still, he's quite a different person than when he started out due to the Padyatra experience and so on. But then he comes, I also, while writing it, I didn't know how it was all going to turn out. And then I began to think more and more and wonder how things would develop. In that way, writing is an adventure. At one point, in fact, when I had him going off with the sannyasi and his wife was home, and I thought, where is this leading to? And she was wondering too, is he ever coming back? And then you get so involved in writing like this, and I didn't know how to resolve it. And I was thinking, now what am I going to do? And then actually one of the characters, the woman, Chai Devi, she just like stepped forward like a living person and said, if you don't know how to solve this story, I know how to solve it. My husband should come back. And that would be natural, because that's the way he is. He would want to come back, and he should have heard that Lord Chaitanya came through this village, and he definitely want to come back and to face himself. And then he started agreeing with that, the husband, yes, he's probably right. And it was like a mental telepathy occurring between the two characters. Although they were far apart, she was drawing him back, and he was thinking also, thinking I should go back. I'm trying to face my fate by going here and going there. I should go back to the village where I was shamed. And if I really have convictions, I'll just show myself and be a humble devotee again. And I was just like sitting in the background and agreeing to do what they decided. But I realized that as he was coming back home, that something had to be resolved for him. It couldn't just be that he comes home and then from then on, as we say, lived happily ever after, that he never had a fall down, that he was fixed up. I was wondering, well, what is the resolution to, not just like an internal decision in his mind that now I shall be fixed up and I won't fall down, but how can a person be free from temptation and not fall down again? So that kind of developed in a way that I was satisfied with. And it gets told eventually. It gets told by Haridev himself. What happens is, on his way back, he again stops in one of those dharmshalas. And the first time he went through there, he was put in a room, and some young students came in. And it looked like they were like runaways from their village, really wild young boys, young men, practically like boys only. And they'd run away from home, and they thought that their life was going to be a real exciting adventure, that they were going to find all kinds of enjoyments on their own. It's in sinful life. They were very high-spirited, and when he tried to read the Bhagavad Gita to them, they made fun of him and so on. So now he meets them again after some months, and they've been kicked around quite a bit by the material nature, and they're in a different mood. They're afraid to go home, but they're not thinking that they're going to be able to wander around the world and just enjoy themselves. And he now, he's not like such a timid person who's afraid of fall down, trying to atone himself, but he feels more hardened and more devotional also. And he starts to preach to them. They're more receptive this time. And a relationship develops where he's much older than them. He's like their father. And they take shelter of him. They really need every kind of shelter, from food, clothing, and shelter, to spiritual shelter. He tells them about the Harinam he was on, and half jokingly they say maybe they could form a Harinam party with him, but then they actually do. And they go out and they do Harinam. And so what happens is they develop a kind of relationship, and they go home with him to the village. And to give you a picture of what it's like, I'll read from the wives' a description of them when they come home. I was so happy to see that Harideva came back, and not alone, but with a small group who are almost like his followers. He does not recognize himself as having any spiritual strength. He is so humble. His confidence has been shaken by events in the past, but these boys saw what I can also see, that Haridev is a fixed-up devotee. The boys had run away from home and were wandering around with no real purpose in life. But when they met Haridev and heard from him about Lord Chaitanya, it had a profound effect on them. They wanted to follow him as disciples. This is the way Krishna arranges for people to meet devotees. Just as Chaitanya Prabhu and others were touchstones for us, Chaitanya Prabhu, that's the man who, the devotees who came to their village in the beginning and converted them to Chaitanya followers. Just as Chaitanya came and was touchstone for us because he had some connection to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, so Haridev has now become one of these touchstones. Haridev seems a little surprised at the attentiveness the boys offer him, but he takes their interest quite seriously and he is scrupulous to give them the absolute truth. He told me that he sometimes thinks he should tell them they have come to the wrong man. He thinks that would be the most honest thing to do. But when we discussed it, he came to a different conclusion. He is telling them clearly that he is not their guru, but he is not going to kick them away. They are going to be like partners on Harinam. He is the older brother, the senior partner, and they are still spiritual babies. So, I didn't get more overt than this to explain it, but the principle involved is that one can become fixed up by helping others and by taking the responsibility to fix them up. And this will like force you into the strength, the responsibility, if you accept dependence, in this case like disciples. Someone who is barely fixed up himself by Krishna's arrangement can become thoroughly fixed by taking the responsibility. So this satisfied me. I could identify with it in a personal way. I have some experience of it. And it seemed a good way to resolve the story of the character. Anything is risky, we say, in spiritual life until we come to the perfect stage. But by a combination of chanting, hearing, associating, by personal development, and then if you take the responsibility to help others who are even junior than you or less fixed than you, this is a way that he could be fixed up. Because actually, as soon as the story opens, Haridev, he's not fallen. He's overcome his fallen condition, but his real problem is like haunted by, am I going to fall down again? And that's the real problem, more than fall down. Because even if you do fall down, in one sense, what's the big deal? Krishna says, apichet siddharacharo, you may slip, then you have to come up. But he has more condition that he's more afraid of it happening. So they're both bad. To fall down is bad, and to be so afraid that you can't do anything is also bad. So I hope it comes across that he is cured of all these things, not by telling a story that, and so he became a pure devotee, completely above the modes of material nature, but he found the ways and means to live a life where he wasn't going to have any more problems that way. And he had good sympathetic association and people who accepted him for what he actually is, and that is a devotee who was very dedicated, sincere, and fixed in Krishna consciousness, although had a weakness in the past. So as I say, it's a story on those themes. Temptation, what a temptation is, and what is fall down. So one part of the story is that when he got back, he decided to write a little manual to help others about this, on these themes. And so I presented within the diaries his booklet that he wrote. So the translator-editor, this is another manuscript, he says, in addition to the diaries, I found a manuscript of a little handbook, apparently written by Haridev, discussing the danger of fall down in spiritual life. Copies of this manual were found in several villages near Haridev's original home. By reading the treatise circulated by Haridev to his friends, we can surmise the continuation of his life story. So it's a little booklet in four chapters describing what temptation is, how to avoid it, what fall down is, what to do when you fall down, and then a section called The Mercy of the Vaishnavas. So in that way, because I wanted to be more direct as an instructor in the book, not only tell character stories, but I wanted to preach more overtly to the readers on the themes. But of course, if you do this too much while telling a story, then the people will lose interest. When you hear a story, you want to be entertained and you want to learn about people, characters. And when you write an essay, you want to preach ideas. Sometimes I felt I wanted to preach more directly at one point, and so I had him write this book. It's a little bit like a mini Obstacles on the Road to Krishna Consciousness, on the Path of Devotional Service, about these things, very practical things of what to do when Mayadevi calls. And then, in other words, he's telling from somebody who went through a bad fall down, and he says, here are the suggestions what to do when you get tempted. And he gives four, like, immediate situations what to do. Calm down, ask yourself, what is the source of this temptation? Do something else, chant Hare Krishna, etc. And then he says, but here are the reasons why I didn't follow those suggestions. And his points are, I lack depth. Then he says, how do you get deeper? I lack the sense of alarm at how dangerous the early stage of temptation is. I lack knowledge. I lack experience in how devastating a fall down is. I wasn't afraid. I thought I had more leeway. I learned my lessons the hard way. I'm not proud of it. So then he assures us in his booklet that we don't have to fall down. We have the greatest strength to protect us. Wine and women are pale attractions when compared to the attraction of Krishna consciousness. So there's his book. And then after his book, then the editor, translator, tells us that he has one more thing that he found in this collection of papers. And they're like, this is like 500 years ago, these different things that were written by these people. And he finds some excerpts from a pilgrimage journal which Chai Devi kept. This was written 3 years after the activities told in the previous journals. It is an account of a pilgrimage which she attended along with her husband and large numbers of people from Chitranagar village who walked to Jagannath Puri in hopes of gaining the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. Well, after Lord Chaitanya came to her village, she got inspired to worship Radha Krishna deity. And so she wrote poems and prayers while her husband was away. And this continues her becoming like a very intimate pujari of Radha Krishna. When the whole village goes on this pilgrimage and first whether she should take the deities or not, and then they take the deities. And it was my way of parting with these people in the book. We see them. And they discuss their own relationship, and he says that he doesn't think he... What's it? Get to that part. Hari Dave and I spoke some more about our future. He has no immediate desire to sever all connections with me by taking sannyas. He says I am not a hindrance to his progress, but a friend, and he says he's not ready for sannyas. We are both aware that Lord Chaitanya repeatedly told Grihasthas on his South Indian tour that they should not take sannyas, but stay at home and become a guru, telling everyone you know about Krishna. In this way, I always will be with you. So we get a picture like that of them, that they are actually in the vanaprastha stage. They have no household anymore. They have no business. Their children are grown up. And they're walking with the whole village to Jagannath Puri in hopes of seeing Lord Chaitanya. The story ends there. The whole book ends there. And the translator says, the previous notes are the last full journal entry. It is followed by a few more lines indicating that the rest of the diary is no longer existing. We can only assume Chai Devi and Hari Devi continue their pilgrimage to Puri. Unfortunately, the accounts of their experience must for now remain untold. So this kind of storytelling is open. I could find more manuscripts and tell different stories, even about these people in the future. I know it's not exactly like speaking on the scripture, but there is a lot of Krishna conscious instruction that I did discuss tonight in the course of that. So if you have any questions about any of it, we can discuss a little now. Yeah. We should be afraid of Maya and keep a distance. Not think that I have nothing that I can flirt with Maya. That's the fear. But what the character had was a kind of lack of confidence in the fact, and a lack of confidence in himself, that if he follows Krishna conscious life, that won't happen. And so that also made him think, he didn't accept the full mercy that comes. We're told that you don't need any atonement, you just have to reinstate yourself in Krishna consciousness. We know that devotees, they should accept somebody who's fallen when that person tries to rectify and come back. But even more important than that, the person himself has to be convinced of that. And you're not, in any community of devotees, you're not going to get everyone who will accept you back. They'll think, oh well, he did some bad things, I can't accept that person back fully. But that shouldn't affect you so totally. You have to believe what Nectar Devotion says, that you don't have to do anything separate. Krishna forgives you, just come back and do the service again and be humble about your fallibility. So that Haridev lacked that kind of both the faith that sadhana bhakti will free him from fall down, and he did not fully accept that the mercy will do this. So that's the distinction between the healthy fear of Maya and the the unhealthy or unnecessary fear that prevents you from even entering again devotional activities and that.